think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network, a Football Friday here on Football Full Circle. We'll go around the National Football League. We'll talk some of the big headlines that we have in the National Football League and maybe some college football on this Friday as well. Scott, at this point next week, as we have shared a few times, we'll know the NFL schedule, and that includes the opening game of the season in Kansas City. The Chiefs have a certain amount of opponents they can play, 8 potential opponents for that opening game. We'll talk a few of those and who we think the NFL schedule makers slate for Kansas City and the 2-time reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the story or not. Obviously, they're going to have some games on Christmas or Wednesday. I know the NFL prints money, Ben, but they're apparently asking for $50 million, maybe as much as $100 million a game for the two games, apparently, that they're planning on having on Christmas. I mean, and Netflix is going to get involved, which I know, great for the NFL if they end up getting that, but people are going to be really upset. You know, a lot of people don't have Netflix. But can you imagine $100 million to televise one game, not an entire season? Man, the NFL just prints money. Every time you think you've seen like the top of that stuff, there's another story that comes out just to show how much money they can make on just the littlest of things. It is amazing with the NFL.
Yeah, it we'll find certainly out next is. Week. Yeah, they're going to get that top dollar, no doubt about it, Scott, for those games because of the returns that we have seen on the Christmas Day games the last few years in the National Football League. It's all part of the schedule that, again, is going to come out in just a few days, slated to be released on Wednesday, May 15th. Again, that is just a little bit away from where we are right now on this Friday, May 10th. So, Scott, as we go around, there are 8 potential opponents for the Chiefs to play, including their 3 divisional opponents in the AFC West, and then a few that we expect to be some contenders around the AFC, including what would be an AFC Championship game rematch against the Baltimore Ravens and the up-and-coming team in the AFC, the Houston Texans. Scott, I had this conversation on the early line earlier this week with my co-host there, Donnie Wrightside, and he made a great point, I thought, about why the Texans, he thinks, or at least he wants, but he thinks it's plausible, they get slated in for that opening game. If you compare the Texans, the optimistic team of this offseason, to maybe that team last year, the Detroit Lions, the NFL said, all right, Lions, you've got some high expectations this season. Let's put you into that primetime spot to see if you live up to it, or if you don't, at least take advantage of those primetime opportunities early and often. I think that could be the case, Scott, with seeing Houston potentially start their season in Arrowhead against KC.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Do you want to put the Houston Texans in that role? Are they that big of a story this year versus the NFL saying kind of prove yourself a little bit? I get the comparison. I still think, we discussed it a little bit earlier this week. I still think one of the two Charger games would be the way to go. Yeah. To me, it always goes back to you have one bullet with Jim Harbaugh. The big hoopla of him returning. And you only have one shot at that. If the Chargers start off slowly, and I don't know how good that team is going to be. I know they got Justin Herbert, but boy, they lost a lot of key players, and it seems like they're starting all over again. You only have one chance to hop on that. So why not opening day? It's a big time city, LA. That's going to encompass the West Coast market as well as the East Coast market with Kansas City and the Midwest. Maybe Houston, but it's still to me the Texans, and they still got to prove a little bit. Whereas you got Harbaugh and you got Herbert and you got Mahomes and Kansas City. I think that's the game. If you wanted to take like an outlier, like you could take Buffalo, you could take Cincinnati or Baltimore. Those are the obvious ones. But I think they'd want to save those. You use a game that, no matter who they put, Ben, right? They can put Topeka High in there. They're going to get a great rating. It's the start of the NFL season, so. I think the Chargers. It's Houston, I could see, but I think it'll be the Chargers.
Yeah, so when you look at it, Scott, it would be interesting to see a divisional opponent to start off a season. 2019 was the last time we saw two divisional foes face off on the very first game of an NFL year, but that was year 100, the 100th anniversary of the National Football League. So they put two of the most storied franchises playing each other, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, at Soldier Field. Outside of that, the last divisional opener that we saw was way back in 2012. Not something we often see when you think about divisional openers around the National Football League, at least in that debut game. Not the opening weekend, but the debut game of the year. So that would be the only thing holding back, I think, the Chargers from that spot. And again, there are 8 potential opponents for the Chiefs to play. The Texans, Bengals, Ravens, the 3 teams out of the AFC West, the Chargers, Broncos, or Raiders, or the Saints and the Buccaneers. I don't really expect it to be New Orleans or Tampa. I think it either is the Chargers from the divisional component or one of those 3 teams we expect, the Texans, Bengals, and Ravens, Scott, to contend for that AFC title.
Yeah. It's not really a great home schedule, right? You got Baltimore there, obviously, and Cincinnati, but the division is so bad now that, the perceived Raiders game would have been great, or the Chargers game would have been great, or the Denver, if things had worked out there, would have been great, but they're not. So, realistically, unless you wanted to give them a road game, but I don't think they would ever do that, right? They wouldn't, make the defending chance open up on the road, I don't think. But it's not a great home schedule. To me, like I said, I don't think they would use that Baltimore game because that's going to be a great game, and I don't think they would throw away 2 bullets into 1 slot. So, and same thing with Cincinnati. That figures to be a great game. When you analyze all these things and all the debates, I tell you what, Ben, the debates that these TV executives must have on which games go to which networks, because now they all share. It used to be NBC got the AFC, CBS got the NFC. And that would be that. But now it's all mixed, and who gets the Sunday night game? That must be some battle between, I want that Kansas City-Baltimore game. I'm paying you a gazillion dollars, so I'm getting that on Fox. And NBC says the same thing about the Sunday night package. So the Raiders or the Chargers versus Kansas City wouldn't be one of those games that I don't think they'd be battling for. So that's where my money would go. I don't know. Would FanDuel ever put a bet on that? What's going to be the opening game? They make bets for everything else. Why not that one?
Yeah. Right? I don't know. That's a really great point, Scott. Why not entice? Maybe because, I was going to say it's hard to quantify, but it's hard to quantify what the NFL draft is going to be. It's kind of hard to quantify some of the other markets that we see. So, why not? I think there is a more likely than not case for the likes of the Texans, Bengals, Ravens, Chargers than the rest of the group of 8 that could feel out this, Kansas City opener. So, I just don't know if they would really be worth it in the marketplace. It would get attention, though. I think from a betting handle perspective, I think it would certainly get some public wagers.
I think, you know, the obvious thing is they'd be a little worried it'd be leaked out. You know, somebody, obviously this schedule's been out there. How many people really know? I don't know. It hasn't been leaked out anyway. I also, you know, the Adam Schefters of the world haven't come up with any stories. So maybe they would be able to protect it a little bit, just like a team protects who they're going to draft. So I'd be, I'm a little surprised that they don't put limits on it. You know, a couple $100 is the most you can bet. They sometimes have bets where you can only bet a few dollars. But I don't doubt for a second people would bet it. I really think they would.
I think they would as well, especially because it's the next market, really, that you could cash a ticket on in the National Football League. We do have win totals. We have divisional prices, season-long props, whatever it may be. But the next thing that really becomes a cashable ticket, not waiting to the end of a year, is probably a preseason game in the National Football League. We'll talk about a bet, but not on the FanDuel Sportsbook or your other odds makers, but between two former LSU teammates and the Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's Jaden Daniels, the new quarterback in Washington, and Malik Nabers, the new wide receiver for the New York Giants. We'll talk about that up next, live right here on Football Full Circle on this Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Of course, across the Sports Grid Network, whether the radio or the TV side, we like to provide the odds analysis. We talk about the betting landscape and how we can correlate everything into those actionable numbers. Well, apparently that's the conversation as well, Scott, between Jaden Daniels and his now former LSU teammate, Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark a couple of weeks ago and mentioned how he and his former college QB had a bet on who would win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Of course, Jaden Daniels was the second overall selection made by the Commanders. Malik Nabers taken sixth overall, only four spots behind by the New York Giants. Both top 10 picks, both expect to have an immediate impact in the National Football League in their rookie season. So Malik Nabers mentioned it first, and then on the All Facts No Breaks podcast with Keyshawn Johnson Jr., Jaden Daniels confirmed it, saying, man, he wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but we got a little something going on. In fact, the loser has to pay $10,000 in cash. That's a pretty hefty unit size, Scott, for this Rookie of the Year bet.
It really is, right? And it just goes to show how dumb these guys are. I'm sure there are a gazillion bets like this out there, but again, you can't tell the whole world that this is what you're doing. You just can't. Ben, it's going to take somebody big, Ben. I don't know who it is. I have no idea, but it's going down the path of it. Gambling is only becoming more and more and more popular. It's going to take a Peyton Manning, like, you know, obviously he's not playing anymore, but somebody huge to get caught into this thing, you know, Ohtani in baseball, and maybe that'll open up these players' eyes to, like, it's not worth it. We're set to make millions, literally, of dollars. Why are we going to throw it away, risk it on a goofy little bet? I know it's fun in games, but that's where it's going, because there's more and more and more of this stuff happening. And like I said, I don't doubt for a second there's a gazillion other stories like this of people just betting. And same thing with fantasy, right? I mean, they've been basically able to survive the fantasy angle. That hasn't kind of, you know, emerged to be a problem, but gambling is, and they got to read these kids the Riot Act. Now the thing is, you know, would they be under the scrutiny of the NFL since the bet actually occurred? This is so stupid, but the bet actually was made before they became NFL players. Well, that, you know, to me, what's the difference? You, the bet is still going on now. It's not like you had a bet in college. You know, the bet is what's going to happen this upcoming season. Who cares when you actually made it? But, these guys better be careful. Otherwise, they're going to throw their careers away.
Yeah, so as in terms of the legality of this all, Scott, it's a very good chance this bet does not happen. Rookie minicamp is really starting on that around the National Football League in the next few days. They'll learn about the NFL's gambling policy. Of course, we know the NFL takes this very strictly and stringently. Any impact on the outcome of a game, even individual statistics throughout a season, is staunchly prohibited in terms of what the NFL or NFL personnel is allowed to bet on. ESPN, who had this story on their website, did reach out reportedly to the National Football League office to ask, hey, is this a violation of your gambling policy? Two friends, former teammates, just having their own personal wager between each other, not placing a bet on their season-long prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And as the ESPN report states, they did not hear back immediately from the National Football League. I'm not sure it's in pure violation of the NFL's policy. I don't actually think the bet comes to fruition. But anytime you mention the word bet and professional sports, the antennas are a little bit raised up. If this happens behind the scenes, nobody knows about it. It's a friendly wager between friends. They could have bet a pizza. They could have bet a burger, whatever it might have been. But when you say that it's 10K and out there in the public and you use the actual word bet, it's going to, of course, draw some alarms. Scott, if you were to bet on the NFL Rookie of the Year, who was more likely to receive such a award, Jaden Daniels or Malik Nabers, who do you think would be the wiser bet?
I would go with the quarterback in most situations, and in this one as well. Malik has got to have Danny Nichols throwing him the football, and they're a conservative offense, and who knows how good he really is. Whereas Jaden Daniels, can run, can throw a little bit. He'll find receiver with Washington. Their defense is awful. They're going to be in a lot of shootouts. Not that the Giants won't, but generally the quarterback's going to be able to put up some numbers, that are going to stand out a little bit more than what the wide receiver. The wide receiver, you're at the beckoning call of your quarterback. But the wide receiver, yeah. At least, the running, the quarterback rather, kind of controls his own destiny a little bit. But in pro football, here's what Pro Football Talk wrote. They were quoting the NFL betting policy. Just one more thing on that. Never place, solicit, or facilitate any bet, whether directly or through a third party, on any NFL game, practice, or any other event such as the combine or draft. So they actually had specific rulings, apparently, according to this article, in 2022 that private wagers between teammates and family and friends was prohibited, but they kind of stopped that and made it a little bit more vague. But yeah, give me Daniels as part of that $10,000 bet. I'll take Daniels.
Now, I would not put 10K on the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, and I don't actually think that this bet will actually see its intended life and money will change hands just because of all that it has brought the attention to. Now, Caleb Williams has seen his price grow even shorter to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's plus 170. Jaden Daniels has that second best number at 6-1. Marvin Harrison Jr., third best price at plus 700. Malik Nabers and J.J. McCarthy tied for that fourth best number to round out the top five in total at 14-1. The only thing I will say about Offensive Rookie of the Year, Scott, unlike many football awards, whether collegiately or in the NFL, where a quarterback is capable of winning such award, it is not just strictly a QB award. The Heisman Trophy, it's a quarterback. The NFL MVP, it is a quarterback. Here in Offensive Rookie of the Year, in fact, in the last 10 years, in the last decade, we've only seen four quarterbacks win this award. Of course, C.J. Stroud ran away with it last year, but that's because his performance was sensational, as was the performance of his team. And that's really the point, Scott, where I think if your quarterback is good and the team then has success, a winning record, a playoff spot, that quarterback runs away with it. But if the quarterback even puts up above average numbers on a 4-13 team, that's when that hill becomes a little bit more steep. We'll continue the conversation up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle. So I'm not sure the friendly wager, albeit worth $10,000 reportedly, between Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers will ever come through because of the heightened alarm around the NFL's gambling policy. But that doesn't mean we can't have the conversation about those Rookie of the Year award odds on the offensive side of the football for this upcoming year on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, Scott, 14-1 the price for Nabers, about $8 behind Jaden Daniels, who is 6-1. Jaden Daniels has the second best price behind Caleb Williams, over a $4 gap between those two, plus 170 for Caleb to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the reason, Scott, that I would like betting quarterback Caleb Williams as opposed to quarterback Jaden Daniels is because, as I said before the break, whether fair or unfair, wins and losses, overall team success is tied to one position and solely one position in football. That's the quarterback. And so, when you think about how that pertains to awards, if you as the individual is good and it leads to good for your team, then that is only a positive benefit. But even if you as the individual at the quarterback position is pretty good and your team is five games below 500, it's not going to be seen in the same light. That's why, in my estimation, Scott, C.J. Stroud won it a year ago. He ran away with the award because of how surprising the Houston Texans were. Now, we have seen other quarterbacks win this award and not lead their teams to a divisional championship and a postseason appearance in their rookie season. Justin Herbert in 2020, Kyler Murray, the year before that, just based on their statistical output, but sandwiched in between C.J. Stroud winning it last year and those quarterbacks the couple of years prior were two wide receivers in Garrett Wilson and Ja'Marr Chase. In fact, only four quarterbacks in the last 10 years have won the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, because even if you're a quarterback drafted in the top five, top 10, and you play right away, there's a reason that your organization is drafting in the top five, top 10. More than likely, it's because the team the year prior wasn't all that good, and maybe the outlook for the following season, your rookie campaign, isn't all that much better.
Yeah, then you got to figure out all the different roles in this thing, right? It's not just the production. It's like where you're being drafted by who, and then maybe the wide receiver or the running back, the guy that eventually did win it, he's being drafted later, which theoretically would be on a better team, which means you're highlighted a little bit more. So the other thing is, you know, with the Rookie of the Year, you know, just to note, you know, with we saw it last year with C.J. Stroud, right? If those numbers aren't good enough for you, you could get Caleb Williams. I'm looking at one site, 55-1 to be the Offensive Player of the Year. Wow. Jaden Daniels is 120-1. Oddly enough, C.J. Stroud, I'm looking at, is 70-1. So Caleb Williams' numbers are lower than C.J. Stroud's, which I find very interesting. But if, you know, like I said, now did Stroud end up winning it in the end? No, but he was getting a lot of publicity. You know, he was, yeah, you know, holding on to 120-1 or 55-1 ticket, you know, late in the year on him, you know, made you feel good for a little while. So if those numbers, like I said, for Offensive Rookie of the Year aren't enough, then go with Offensive Player of the Year and get big numbers for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Scott, I remember the conversation last year on C.J. Stroud not winning Offensive Rookie of the Year because we had already baked that in. He was an odds-on favorite by about week number seven and how good that was. But we had the conversation quickly and transitioned it to, could a rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, actually win NFL MVP? That's how good he was last year. I'm not sure we're going to have the same with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, or any of the other QBs, but just worth noting what C.J. Stroud was able to accomplish a season ago. And when you look at Caleb Williams, one of the reasons that not only is he the favorite because he's the number one overall pick and was the generational type talent entering the National Football League, but because the Bears have that expectation, they are favored to make the playoffs in the NFC. They have a win total right now of 8.5, and the over is heavily juiced at minus 150. So they're, if they're a winning team, as the odds expect, and they make the postseason, and Caleb Williams at the quarterback spot is one of the main reasons why, thus, that's how you get him booked as a short favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Right. You know, when you look at the positive side of things, and we all know I'm a Mr. Positive guy, I mean, that offense is pretty good, right? I mean, if Caleb Williams can come in and not necessarily be C.J. Stroud, but be pretty good, you know, you got Swift in the backfield, D.J. Moore, Keenan Allen, Adunze as your wide receivers, Cole Kmet's pretty good. That's a pretty talented offense he's going to be throwing the ball to.
Yeah, absolutely so. Which should only help the numbers, which again is part of the reason why we have this conversation. We'll go elsewhere around the National Football League up next here on the other side of the break on a Football Friday on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, again, we've said this a few times, until we really get the NFL schedule released on Wednesday, and by the time you hear from us next week, maybe there will start to be a couple of dates that have been trickled out, international game days, maybe some of those holiday matchups that we will have later into the 2024 NFL season. There's not all that much around the football world, but a lot of it is off the field, obviously, at this moment. And one of the main storylines, Scott, that really kind of led the football world in conversation this week was the roast of Tom Brady that we saw in LA on Netflix. And part of that was the fun and the comedic, you know, portion of it all, but also getting to see some familiar faces, and some of those familiar faces getting to, if you want to call it that, seeing each other. As was part of the jokes that we saw during the roast and then has been further documented afterward, like Julian Edelman on his podcast, saying there was a real tension between Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, and his former longtime head coach, Bill Belichick. And that was all a part of the reports got in the end of the Patriots dynasty that led Tom Brady to Tampa Bay in 2020 and, of course, led to this ending of that marriage and the partnership between Belichick and Kraft after nearly 25 years at the end of this past season. Belichick and New England, a mutual parting of ways. But it was clear, Scott, through some of the reporting that Belichick and Kraft did not really care for each other toward the end of their relationship. And I guess that was felt even in the atmosphere for Tom Brady's roast.
Yeah, you know, and that just affirms all the notions about there being, like, if you asked Bill Belichick, where would you be right now if you had your perfect world? And there's no doubt in my mind it would be head coach of the New England Patriots. So he got fired. Whether it's actually you're fired and you're not going to agree to it, you know, he got pushed out. So that reaffirmed that notion to the point where now did it come into effect with the Atlanta Falcons that he supposedly didn't get the Falcons job because Kraft, you know, called down to Atlanta and said, hey, you know, don't trust this guy. Like, that's the latest report, or, you know, not really latest, but report a few weeks back. I don't know about that. I mean, anyway, he's paying Belichick, so that didn't make any sense to me. So I still think it's the Kirk Cousins connection with Raheem Morris that got him the job. But that is, the whole thing is weird. You know, I'm reading a little more on it. You know, I guess Tom Brady was actually the executive producer of the show, and that's where he's going to make his money. And this is going to be the first of many roasts that they want to do. You know, which I could see being successful. You know, this thing's gotten so much publicity, but ultimately, for me, Ben, as we discussed, I think briefly on Tuesday, I just, why would you do it? I mean, it's just, I get it. You're an executive producer. So go find some other guy to be the main guy. Go pay Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan or LeBron or whoever you know, may be to be the first one. Why would you, with all the demons and black clouds and things in the closet, the Patriots and Belichick and Kraft and all the issues with that franchise over the last 10, 15 years, why would you subject yourself to that? I don't get it, man. The lust for money is amazing with these guys, I guess.
I don't know, a guarantee is a tough thing, but I would say, Scott, there's a less than 0.00001% chance Tiger Woods is ever that guy that gets roasted. But I agree with the idea of going out and finding somebody else. I just find it fascinating that Tom Brady allowed himself to be in that situation. Nothing was really off limits, except, I guess, as we got further conversations from some of the comics that were there, that the Robert Kraft massage jokes were off the table, and that's why Brady was so mad at Jeff Ross for leading off with that in the first thing of the night. I just think it's also fascinating for what we do here on Football Full Circle to kind of drive it back to the football conversation, which has led to Gerard Mayo being the new head coach in New England. 4 wins last year for a once proud Patriots franchise that is really picking itself up from its bootstraps and trying to build things back up. And one thing that I don't think gets discussed maybe enough, Scott, maybe I'm sure some people do, and I'm sure in the New England area they've talked about this extensively, but one thing that's always stood out to me about the downward spiral of the Patriots post-Tom Brady. Of course, they weren't awful. They made the playoffs with Mac Jones in his rookie season, winning double-digit games. But outside of that, 3 losing records. And last year, 4 regular season wins, the least amount for Bill Belichick in his nearly 30 years as an NFL head coach, even including the 5 he spent in Cleveland. Was not just the on-field performance, but how terrible, and I mean abysmal, that NFL roster was in comparison to the rest of the league, the 31 other organizations. And there was one guy to squarely blame for that. It wasn't Robert Kraft. It was Bill Belichick. He took over that front office executive role, acting as the de facto general manager. And whether it was odd free agency signings that had a very quick shelf life or incredibly peculiar draft decisions, Bill Belichick left New England in a really difficult spot. And that's why, Scott, when you see their win total of 5.5 and the under has the juice for this upcoming year, second worst in the NFL only to the Carolina Panthers, second longest price to win Super Bowl 59, it's going to be a really difficult rebuild, in my estimation, for Gerard Mayo, his new quarterback potentially in Drake May. There's just not a lot of talent significantly across that roster.
Yeah, there really isn't. I mean, you got to be an NFL fan to know who they're throwing the football to, the DeMario Douglases and Jalen Polks of the world. You know, I mean, and then they're in a division where, you know, Buffalo may be coming back to the pack a little bit, but they're still going to be pretty good, right? And you got the Dolphins and the Jets seemingly healthy with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're behind the eight ball. There's not a automatic, all right, we're going to get 1 home win, 2 home wins from our 6 division games. You can't even say that about this Patriots team. And the other thing, you don't even know who's really going to be starting. You know, if it's not Drake May, then you figure it'll be Jacoby Brissett. But then I think people perceive that to be, oh, you know, if Drake May doesn't come out and look like he's the greatest thing in the world, Ben, then it's going to be, oh, yeah, we made a mistake. He's not any good. This, that, what have you. When in reality, maybe he just needs some time, like, you know, most quarterbacks do. But you got yourself an actual viable backup in Brissett to step in. But it really is, you know, just, and you got a, you know, unproven head coach in Gerard Mayo. So are they going to be an offensive team? Is he going to concentrate really on defense and counter everybody else in the AFC with all those great quarterbacks? Is that how they're going to build their team from this, you know, point going forward? Really, it's tough to see them getting 6 wins. You know, 6 is not a lot, right? You got to be really, really bad to only get 5 or less wins. Mm-hmm. But I think this team has the potential to be that bad.
Yeah, listen, I do as well. Scott, you'll hear it from people around the National Football League. You'll hear it from the guys that were drafted in these spots. It's not so much about where you were drafted in terms of, like, your slot. Was it a first-round pick? Was it top 10? Was it top 15? Whatever it might be. It's the situation in which you find yourself. And that could be even 1 year with an optimistic head coach, but then he's shipped off and you got to build back up and you've got 4 offensive coordinators in your first 4 years in the National Football League. Or in this situation for Drake May, you have a first-year head coach in Gerard Mayo that I actually think is going to do some good things and has been great under Bill Belichick as that linebacker pseudo-defensive coordinator type role on that side of the football, who understands the legacy of New England, of course, winning Super Bowls under Bill, but now getting that he kind of needs to bring it into the 21st century, so to say. Obviously, the dynasty of the Patriots was in the 21st century, but just modernizing that old Patriot way. But when you look around for Drake May, there's just not a lot that you could really highlight as like, oh, this is why this guy is stepping into a place where he's going to have success right away. In fact, Scott, there are two quarterbacks of the top six that were taken. Those first six quarterbacks, of course, taken in the first 12 selections. Only two of them do not have a yardage prop out. That's Michael Penix Jr., because he does not expect to play, if at all, in his rookie season. And Drake May, because maybe it's going to be Jacoby Brissett from the start, or maybe it's the odds maker saying, I don't know who this kid May is going to throw the football to.
Yeah, at least in Jaden Daniels' case with Washington, right? They brought in Eckler, they brought in Zach Ertz, they got McLaurin to throw the football to. At least he's got a few weapons. Dotson's halfway decent. Yeah. Whereas with May, if he ends up being a starter, man, not good.
Yeah, not good, and that could only mean that his further evaluation in the NFL, if he has bad numbers, it doesn't look great. We all are going to blame Drake May, but maybe it's because his weapons on the outside did not help much. We'll continue the conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Scott, we were discussing what was described as obvious tension between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick at Tom Brady's roast on Netflix. And we talked about how it has led to a changing of the guard, of course, in New England. Bill Belichick, after 24 seasons, no longer the head coach. We talked about what it means for the Patriots entering 2024 and beyond under rookie head coach Gerard Mayo, perhaps with a rookie quarterback under center in Drake May, who they spent the third overall draft pick on. But we haven't talked about what's next for Bill Belichick. He's going to be doing some media this upcoming year, maybe taking a year off, but not officially retired, we don't think, at this point. Or do we, Scott? Do you think Bill Belichick will coach again in the National Football League?
Yeah, I do. I don't think TV will do him well. Not that he won't do well, or I just don't think he'll feel comfortable to the point of like, wow, this is so much fun. I'm going to be doing this. I don't need to go back onto the football field. I don't. He's not like a Bill Cowher type. I think given the opportunity, especially if things implode with the Giants, would he go back to New York? I think that would be a, you know, an attractive spot for him. We'll see how the itch goes. You know, he's at the point where he may say a year off, you know what, do I really want to get back into that thing? I could clearly see him saying no, and I could clearly see him saying yes. I think I'm leaning toward the yes, though, because I just don't know if TV is he going to open up? Is all of a sudden he going to become Eli Manning? You know, and find out we actually have a personality behind the scenes here? I don't know. I think more so head coach if someone wants to give him a job. And I think next year somebody will. I think being out in the public will help him. You know, you would think all these GMs and owners would know the real Bill Belichick behind the scenes. But seeing him on TV, as much as I really think, Ben, that's really – I don't like guys like that. I just – you know, he's been such a curmudgeon with the media his whole NFL career. Now all of a sudden he needs the media and he's going to become a media member. I don't respect that. I really don't.
Yeah, it is interesting, Scott, right? Like, there's no personality outwardly as they're so focused on only football 24/7, 365. And then afterward, you realize, okay, they're kind of a funny and personable individual. Is it a persona? Is it different? Is it genuine? That's always difficult to understand. But we are already seeing Bill Belichick kind of start to put those little seeds in place, right? Doing the Netflix roast. And honestly, I thought he was the funniest non-comic of the night. I thought some of his jokes were well delivered and quite witty. Obviously, he probably didn't write them all himself, but still, point stands. You wouldn't expect Bill Belichick in hilarious to be words that you would put together. Bill Belichick has already done things and is doing things for ESPN. He's going to be featured on the Manning cast. And at the NFL draft, he was on the Pat McAfee show, sharing stories and giving his analysis for what was happening during the NFL draft in Detroit. He's already starting to do those things where maybe he's trying to change the way that he is viewed. And that goes into kind of part of the conversation as well, Scott. Why didn't he get a job in 2024's coaching cycle? those reports have kind of stated that it was because he was looking for too much control, and others were kind of looking for a different way. There's so much notoriety and attention paid to Bill Belichick if he becomes your head coach that was the juice really worth the squeeze. I don't know necessarily how that changes in a year, but knowing how the NFL operates, it probably will. And I still, like you, Scott, believe there is that desire for Bill Belichick to become a head coach. I think the New York Giants makes a ton of sense in terms of obviously being the defensive coordinator under Bill Parcells, spending some time with this G-man organization. I still think Brian Daboll gets a pass, even if they're bad this year, but it's going to be a very hot seat from then on out. I also think the Cowboys, who were kind of rumored maybe for Bill Belichick after they got bounced in such a fashion by the Green Bay Packers in the opening round of the NFC postseason, with all the struggles the Cowboys have had from reaching the mountaintop once again, that Bill Belichick could go to Dallas. Instead, Jerry Jones brings back Mike McCarthy, but he does not give him a coaching extension, which means that his contract runs out at the end of 2024. So if it's a bad year, does that Dallas Cowboys job become vacant? And would the star power of Bill Belichick match the star power of the star and Jerry Jones? That, I think, is another spot that could make some sense.
Yeah. How about the New Orleans Saints, you know, with Dennis Allen? You would think this would be a make or break year for him. And, you know, he could go down to New Orleans, you know, have himself a little bit of a quarterback there in Derek Carr, and more importantly, go against the Falcons two times a year. That, you know, they're not a bad team. Great defense. He's got to be, you know, attracted to that. So that there's a number of clubs out there with head coaches that are kind of like, okay, you know, you better do something this year. Otherwise, you know, you're out the door. Chicago Bears, you know, come to mind. So,
for
a lot of big time franchises, right? So I do think somewhere along the line, someone will give him a shot. It's kind of weird he didn't get it this year, but maybe there was just so much stuff going on up in New England and all the stories. And like you said, he wants to be this and that. And now this year he spends the year showing the world that he's not that way. He's not the curmudgeon. He's not the, you know, I'm Mr. Everything in your franchise. It'll be interesting to see how critical he is during the broadcast, too. I would be real surprised if he starts breaking down these head coaches saying, I mean, this guy screwed up. He ran when he should have thrown the football. I don't think that's going to be Belichick at all. So we'll see how conservative he is and how much personality he could show in being that conservative. But I expect him back into football. If there was a bet 50-50, even 60-40, maybe even 65-35, that's where I'd kind of draw the line, him on the field, I would bet yes.
Yeah, I would agree, Scott. I think the number would probably be slightly into minus money at this point. And as time goes on and those head coaching vacancies become more and more available, we'll see. But it was rather jarring, right? 8 head coaching vacancies this offseason, and with Bill Belichick being one, leaving New England, that he didn't fill any of the other 7. That was not what we expected. There was a couple of teams, mainly Atlanta, that were rumored to target Bill Belichick, and it did not pay off. We'll never really understand. We'll never truly know why Bill Belichick didn't get the Falcons job or the Chargers job or whatever it ended up being. But I would really love to know, and I would love to know how that changes, if at all, from this offseason before we get to the 2025 NFL campaign. A couple of more minutes left here on Football Full Circle before we send you in to your weekend. Come back and join us here on Sports Grid Radio for just a little bit more FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, at this point next week, we'll be breaking down why the NFL schedule favors this team, what matchup we are most looking forward to, because the NFL schedule, again, is set to be released on May 15th. I'm sure over the next few days here on Football Full Circle leading up to Wednesday, and by the time we talk again on Friday or a week from now, we're going to have some games and some dates that certainly catch our eye and attention. Scott, there was one full game that has been released, and that's the opening Friday of the year, the Sao Paulo Brazilian opener between Philadelphia and Green Bay. I thought we had a really interesting conversation earlier this week, Scott, both talking about the schedule release and getting those actual games out there to not only see what game we're most excited for or which weekend is going to be the best, but also having the opportunity to individually evaluate teams from the odds perspective, not just win total season long or divisional conference prices, so on and so forth from the futures perspective, but how the odds makers judge and will evaluate these teams against insert X opponent on a week in, week out basis. Scott, when would be, once we get the schedule in the middle of May, when would be the first time, if at all, you would bet a weekly line for an NFL game?
That's a good one. You know, I want to bet the over Caleb Williams, and I got a couple of shekels on it already. But yeah. That's the one I'm kind of, and Jaden Daniels as well. I think they're both going to go way over their 3,000, basically, yardage passing total. But I don't want to do it now. It's May. I keep on looking at that calendar. Boy, get a little closer, a little closer. Don't move these odds too much because it is kind of trickling its way up further and farther. I would guess sometime for a game itself, honestly, probably not until the week before the season.
Yeah.
Futures, different story, but an actual game, it probably would be the week before the game. Nothing crazy. I don't think there's anything drastic that's going to happen, line movement wise from now till, game time that I got to hop in now, or even 3 weeks, 4 weeks, barring an injury. So probably not real, honestly, until that week. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. Probably within that week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe at the end of training camp, because I have a feeling of what that team is going to look like or what that matchup is truly going to be dictated by. Obviously, we don't have the huge sample size. We're just going off last year and what our projection of this team is. But no, I don't really think you're beating numbers by jumping in at the end of May, right, for a week one game or for that marquee matchup in December, whatever it may be. No, I don't think
the only one you
beating
would. But the only one you would be like maybe the Bears or I was going to say Redskins, Commanders, just because of the quarterback teams. Those would be the only ones that if you just think, hey, Caleb Williams is going to be the greatest thing in the world, or Jaden Daniels, or pick one, right? Then maybe you bet it over the next couple of weeks before the preseason starts. Because those are the only ones that I think, like, if the boys in Vegas see Caleb Williams thrown for 300 yards in a preseason or one of the others, they may say, well, wait a minute, we better move this line a couple of points because, they're going to be better than we're thinking they are. Those would be the only teams.
Yeah, I would agree, right? There's probably some team that's going to be so optimistically viewed that their numbers might be inflated because of it, and maybe before that inflation truly happens, you can start to get the better of the numbers. Scott, I'm looking at the game spread and the money line and the total, of course, for that only game to be determined at this moment to be fully fleshed out. That is the Sao Paulo opener between the Packers and the Eagles on the first Friday night of the NFL season. And it's almost like I'm going back on what we are saying here. I'm very optimistic on Philadelphia this year. I'm going to pick the Eagles to win the NFC. I think the Eagles' issue last year was a lack of coordinator success under a CEO head coach in Nick Sirianni, mainly on the defensive side of the football. It was a struggle. But I don't think the talent isn't there, and I think the Eagles have addressed their biggest areas of need in the offseason defensively, led by Vic Fangio, who I think, frankly, is maybe the brightest defensive mind that you could have as a DC in the NFL to make that immediate impact. So if I think Philadelphia is going to be so, so good this year, back to one of the best three teams in the National Football League, even though the Packers, I think, could be a playoff team, and who would really second-guess that right now, is it worth it for me just to have a pick'em price on Philly at minus 118 to win that Sao Paulo opener? It is a little bit intriguing to me.
It is. But is the line going to change? That's the ultimate question.
Yeah.
You want to lock up your money in May versus maybe losing a half a point in August.
Yeah. Is this spread going to even get to 3 on the day of the game? Who really knows? Tough for us to say on May 10th. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday on Football Full Circle starting at noon Eastern.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.